know there's going to be an intro, Gary. I don't know if I
welcome to the What's Percolating teleconference, discussing the latest in heartfelt mind, body, and spirit for peace, passion, and prosperity. Now here are your hosts, Gary Kobat and Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
And it's a beautiful evening in Los Angeles. This is Gary Kobat.
And it stopped snowing in Maine. Hi. It's
awesome.
Elizabeth Hamilton Garino. Yeah, finally. That's a lot of snow out there, though. Wow. It's feet of snow. I don't even want to look.
So you could do snowmen tomorrow.
Looking the other way.
And the kids,
know what I'm
gonna
do tomorrow.
Do they have school?
They have school, I think. They had a free day today, but they're off tomorrow, or they get to go back tomorrow, and I guess I'll just be out in the yard myself doing snow angels or something. I'm not real sure. We'll see how it goes.
Put them to work. Shovel the snow.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
great. What a day. This is our second day. We've had five sessions a day, and oh, my gosh, some of the highlights. You know, late this afternoon, we had 19-year-old Lauren Galley. And she is just a whippersnapper. I mean, she's put together this woman's group to help stop and help other kids understand and help stop bullying. And it was so awesome to have such a young leader in the United States putting together this kind of a group. So I can't wait to tell Heather and JP about that. And then before that, we had Mitch Gaylord, 84 Olympic gold medal winner. And, oh, my gosh, the stories he had from the time he was little to the time. We had a caller call in and say what was his most profound moment in his career. And he said it was the junior nationals where he absolutely failed. And he failed so bad and didn't make the Team USA that year that the pain from that experience woke him up. And from that wake-up call, he said he'd never let that happen again. And from then on, it was Team USA, Olympics, Olympic gold. And then he created two unique moves, you know, the Gaylord, flop and flip. Basically,
Gaylord
in Gaylord 2, right? You know better than I do,
Gaylord,
Elizabeth.
Yeah, Gaylord 2, yeah.
There you go. Anyway, so Mitch and I go way back for years and years and years, and we had some war stories about, you know, palling around and, you know, helping each other in life and so forth. So that was awesome, too. So it's been a great 2 days. And, Elizabeth, why don't you share with the audience? Yeah, why don't you share with the audience how they can get involved and so forth?
Yeah, if you, we're going to speak with JP and Heather Howell, and they're on Twitter, the Howells 56, and their website is discoveryourpath.com, so you can follow along there, and we're going to be live with them here in a minute. You can call 714-868-0220 if you want to ask a question. We do have a live chat room going on as well. And then for the shows, if you're listening to this tomorrow morning, I can relate to that. If you want to go to sleep, go ahead. You don't have to listen live. We've got free replays on everything. If you can hang out with us, great. If you need to go to sleep, got to go to work tomorrow or whatever, every show that we're doing has free replays. You can click on the link and share the show in your social media, and we really appreciate that. It makes the shows go viral. So it's all good.
Okay. Yeah, yesterday we had Sam Rose. We call him Sam the Nutritionist in L.A., and I loved it. He said we're sitting more than we're sleeping in society today. We're absolutely sitting more than we're sleeping. And I'm like, whoa, that's got to shift. And then he said one out of every five meals is handed to you through a car window. And we're like, whoa, that's not cool either. So Sam was just an amazing. And then we had spiritual psychologist Dr. Margaret Paul, and that was quite moving as well. And I also liked Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. You know, his dad wrote the book Four Agreements, and he's wrote the book Living a Life of Awareness. And I loved, he said, when an idea is more than your life, when an idea is more than your life, you get attached. So when, like, alcohol is more than the value of your life, then you're attached to alcohol. If chocolate is that idea of chocolate, and you've got to have your chocolate, is
chocolate.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to hammer on your chocolate a little bit here.
I know you are.
Exactly. But that idea of, I got to have my chocolate, is bigger than the value of your life. You get attached.
No, it's not.
It is.
I like Kevin Sorbo. I loved our interview with Kevin Sorbo last night and him talking about golfing and his ideal. That was a great question you had when you asked him who his ideal golf team was, and he rattled off Marilyn Monroe and Abe Lincoln and somebody else I can't remember, but just really interesting. And he's a stroke survivor, and what an interesting story he had as well. So it's awesome.
Yeah, from Hercules to a stroke survivor to, you know, 50 years old and he's back in the business again, very successful. So without any further ado, he was the first round 31st pick of the 2004 amateur draft. He made his appearance at 22 years old, June 11, 2005, for the Kansas City Royals. And he's now pitching for the Los Angeles Dodgers and had a career year last year, no other than J.P. Howell and his wife, Heather. Good evening.
How you guys doing?
Awesome. How are you?
Thank you.
Doing great. Just doing right now.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. Love it. Thank you. Awesome. So let's chat a little bit. So, JP, take us back. I mean, like when you were a kid. Like, when did you know you really had it? Like, when did you know? I mean, like, did you want to be a fullback in an NFL team, or did you really know it was baseball? And when did you know you really had it for baseball?
Well, you know, you always think you know, but, I never knew, honestly, until I made it. I mean, I always believed, and but I never knew, man. I knew I could do it if I had the opportunity, but I knew a lot of things had to fall into place for me, and I was fortunate of, having a lot of things go my way, but also working hard. I mean, I probably knew, honestly, when I got drafted, I had a good chance at least getting one day in the big leagues.
And Heather, when did you meet him?
We met at USC our freshman year, a week into freshman year. We both were athletes at USC. I was running track, and JP was playing baseball. And we met during mandatory study hall, and that's when it all happened.
Mandatory for you to
study
meet
hall. I want to hear more about mandatory study hall. What do you have to do in that?
Yeah,
so cute. Yeah,
not much study going on there in study hall that night.
I'm guessing not.
It was
Book
love
check,
at first sight.
Looking good. Yeah.
Did you say love at first sight?
It was. I mean, I don't know, Dave, you could say with your side of it, but we definitely felt, even on the first day, that there was a special connection there.
Yeah, I knew that more than I knew I could play baseball. That's one thing I know I can
tell
you
that. Wow. There's the nugget of the evening. That's so cool. So you're bigger than baseball.
Sweet.
You just right there. It's bigger than baseball. I love it. I love it.
I'm getting some points for Valentine's Day here coming up. You know, I had to get there.
Good. He's on tonight. I'm telling you. He's got the slider working.
Yes.
I love it. So, I love it. So
I agree.
Go ahead.
I agree, and I also want to say that when we were at USC, we always dreamt of being back in Los Angeles with him playing the Dodgers and everything. And it's amazing, you know, that now we're living like 3 miles from that same place that we met, which is crazy, like 13 years later.
Is that amazing? So did you like have just a dream? Was it a premonition? Was it just a vision or a feeling? Did you talk about it?
Yeah, I feel like when we first, I mean, for both of us, like I felt the same JP, you know, like he just said, is I definitely had, you know, that initial feeling, that initial intuition that there was something special and, like, a special connection that we hit it off right away. And then, yeah, we definitely had nights and, you know, times where we talked about our dreams and all the things that we were, you know, I guess dreaming and inspiring to do. And, so to be living it now 12 years later is crazy.
JP,
it's really
why
special.
USC? Why USC? What interested you in USC?
Well, I mean, I think for me it was just, I'm a California guy. It was, USC to me is one of the, you know, that and Stanford were my two top schools in California that I really wanted to attend to. It's really prestigious, you know, and in case baseball didn't work out, USC was a great education and degree to have. And I felt like, that would take a little stress off me for playing as well, knowing that I have that in my back pocket. I could throw a pitch and not worry if it's going to make or break my career. You know, if I graduate from here, I'll have some connections. I'll be able to, survive and make a living and support, my future wife or future family and kids. And that was really important to me at a young age, is to be able to provide. And USC was a great place for me to do that at.
So if there's some kids listening and they're on their upward path, and let's say they're in high school or they're beginning high school and they're feeling this buzz or they're starting to look at colleges, what should they look for? I mean, what would you suggest from your perspective? Like, what makes a difference to choose a college if you want to play a sport like that?
Well, yeah, for one, it's really write down what you think is going to be most important to you currently, but mainly in, 10, 15 years from now. What's really going to be important to you? I had fear of, moving away from home or, moving to a brand new place that I didn't know and had no friends. And that's all important stuff, but that will, I met my wife the first week and I met my friends the first minute of being on campus. So all that gets eliminated. It's more... the process is difficult to go through, actually moving out of your home or moving to another city or even staying home. If you don't want to stay home but you really love a school, it's okay. You can attend that school and work things out. I mean, the main thing is what's really important to you, do you think, 10 years from now, and also weigh in what's currently important to you. But, put that all in together and weigh the positives and negatives of each school. And it'll tell you right on paper and in your heart, really, what you really, what school you want to attend.
And Heather, why did you pick USC, Heather?
I picked USC for a lot of the same reasons, but ultimately it was a place where I could get a scholarship for track, and I had a unique situation with, breaking my back and being hurt before I went in. And like prior to that, I was getting offers from all around the country. I wanted to go to Stanford, and USC was one of the schools that really stood by me with my injury and still offered me a full scholarship. So, it was close enough to my hometown. I was always drawn to LA. It's a great school. The recruiting trip really sells you as far as the athletic department goes. And, I felt, a calling to go there. And although it was far away a little bit from my home, it was still close enough to go there. And I had bounced around in school, so I was used to starting fresh. And I think, for kids listening too, just knowing that when you have a greater goal, that anything that's great in life, any goal you have, it takes a lot of work, and it takes making those choices that sometimes are difficult in the present moment, but those choices, when you make them, they always pay off later on your path.
Have you guys ever had anybody say to you, what would you want to do that for? You can't do that. Are you kidding me? That's a dream. When you have a dream so big as to be a professional baseball player or get a college scholarship, some of these things, sometimes people put you down and say, you can't do that, or, go get a real job or whatever. Has anybody ever said that to you? Or if they did say that to you, what would your response be? Because sometimes that happens to kids. No one from here ever does that. What would you want to do that for? It's terrible to hear that, but sometimes that happens.
Right. Well,
yeah.
Do you want to start, babe? You want me to start?
I'll just say, along my path, that's like the number one thing said is, either you're one in a million, there's no way you're going to make it. And it's constant adversity. And anything you want to accomplish, that's part of the price you have to pay is being able to, you know, really dig down deep and take some controversial comments from people and really not let it affect you, because you're going to face a lot harder things than that. And if you can get, you know, past that, it's really a good test for you and way to build character and being able to not really pay attention to, you know, almost have tunnel vision on what you want to do. And no matter what anyone says or does, it should never take you off that path, because that's going to happen along your way many times, and many distractions are going to try to throw you off your path, and on your train track, they're going to try to knock you off. So in order to get past that, step one is to really not care what people think, you know, say or do. You could definitely, you know, find ways to tune them out and grow as a person. And you really get to know yourself whenever you look in the mirror and feel you're the only one that, you know, believes. And there will be a nice day when you do make it, and it'll all be worth it.
Yeah. And JP really said it well. But it's really just about following your intuition. You know, when you know that you're destined for something, or that you have a greater vision than where you're at in your life at the present moment, I mean, it does. It goes back to saying anything great in life, it takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of, you know, discipline and a lot of dedication, and it takes really following your intuition and really knowing yourself. So I think the more you can have a better relationship with your own intuition and use that as your guiding light on your path, then when people come into it and they try to tell you otherwise, you feel so confident in yourself and what you know that you want to do for your life and for your path that it's easier to say no, or, you know, not hear anything from the outside coming in. And I think we're so bombarded by things all day long, you know, whether people are telling you can't do it, whether TV's telling you can't do it, whether, you know, you go out in LA, there's billboards everywhere and all this kind of, like, distraction of things that tell you how to live and how to be and what you should be. And it really, you know, none of that matters. So I think if you can just tune out, I think the key really is tuning out a lot of the outside world and, you know, taking from people you trust and things that you trust are good advice, but really knowing that you have the power inside yourself to know what's best for your life. And it's all about making those choices and listening to that intuition. Just like, you know, for JP and I, knowing that at 18 what we wanted, you know, and where to get there, there was a lot of having to not follow the crowd and, you know, be okay with, you know, just, yeah, not listening to other people in order to get to where we wanted to be. And had we listened to other people along the way, you know, that were telling us that we couldn't, then we wouldn't be here right now. And we wouldn't be married. We wouldn't be doing everything that we want to do.
Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Heather, can you play baseball? I'm just curious. You have the baseball?
Yeah, it's like
can
a
you
funny
throw
question
him a
because
pitch?
I play... No. Oh my
She's got
gosh.
A heck of an arm.
I...
She's a heck of an arm, man. She can throw the ball pretty well. She's like me. That's another thing. We can't hit the ball. We can just throw it pretty good, you know.
I can definitely. I can take him in basketball, maybe. So I definitely am not going to take him in baseball.
I wanted to just touch upon what you were saying because I think it was impactful, and
repeat it,
and that was. You're saying you listen to a voice inside? What intuition? What was intuition for you? Go ahead.
Well, intuition for me, yeah, I was listening to the voice inside. Or it's like, I guess I hear a lot of people starting to, you know, get into meditating and that sort of thing. And I just think it's so important to, no matter how you do it, and it really doesn't matter in how old you are. I did it when I was younger, you know, before races and before track. It's really just getting into a quiet space where you can tune out everything around you, turn off electronics, you know, turn off whatever the outer world noise is. And be by yourself, and, you know, whether that's closing your eyes and just connecting to your insides. And when you do that, you know the truth, and you will be able to feel. It's a feeling. It's a knowing. it's a listening to, you know, that guide inside yourself that really will tell you what's best for your life. And no matter what choice you have to make in that moment or whether it's just a bigger picture for your overall path, we all have the ability, I believe, to connect to that. And that was something I was fortunate to be introduced to at a younger age, and it was something that I used a lot on my path. And I think had I not, then I wouldn't be where I'm at today. I don't think there's any way. And I think that's why, and you know, the thing with, for us with Discover Your Path, it's all about why I'm so passionate for that is because I can see how easily it is for any age, really, but, you know, for kids and younger people in this generation, how easy it would be, and it is a test even for me at my age, to still not listen to the outer world and the messages that you're constantly being flooded with, and to have to continually connect inside of myself to know what's best for my life. And that doesn't come from anyone else but from yourself.
Awesome. What do you think happens to people if they have a dream and they don't pursue it, they ignore it, or they self-doubt, or they just completely, I don't know how to say, you know, you ignore the gut or the passion and so forth, and you do something else. And let's say you get to be 40 or 50, and you've got a regret. What do you think that's like? How can you get that back in some way? I think a lot of us do that when we're in our 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s. There's maybe something where you're like, wish when I was younger I would have listened and maybe done that. Anybody ever have that? People don't. It just depends.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's, for one, it's never too late. You know, I don't think it matters even if you're in your 70s. You can still have a goal, and I think you can accomplish it. I think anything is possible when you put your mind and your spirit and you connect and you go for it.
Of course.
So I never think it's too late. And I think living with regret, you know, it's about trying to maybe just be thankful for what you have and then say, you know what, I can do something great now. It doesn't matter if I'm 70. I know Louise Hay, like she started Hay House Publications. And, you know, I think she did that in her 60s. So it's just never too late to do something great along your path. And I feel like time, we put such a this big priority on numbers, on age, on time, this and that. I don't feel like, you know, my beliefs, I don't feel like it's like that on the other side, and I don't really think it matters as much. I don't think it matters really at all the way we do it here. I think you have to enjoy every minute, you know, that you're here, and I don't think age matters for that, and it's never too late to do something great and, again, listen to your intuition and go after whatever that is that you want to do.
Touche. JP, so you were younger. You're moving towards USC. Was it easy to be distracted, or were you locked in on that tunnel vision as you talk about?
Well, you know, I got distracted in other ways, like, you know, with school other things I could have focused on a lot more, and I didn't. I chose not to because of whatever, for whatever reason. I mean, for me, I had such tunnel vision when it came to baseball. It was something I had such a desire for, and I was really determined. And because of that, it gave me discipline. I mean, I had, you know, the 3 D's, desire, determination, and discipline. And it really was crucial for me to accomplish it, or at least go for it. Because I know if it didn't work out, you know, I said it to myself when I was in the minor leagues and even in college, I'm giving it my all. So even if this doesn't work out, I can put my head on the pillow at night and sleep well. I don't have to sit there and contemplate what I could have changed, you know, because that's going to be in everything. I do that now and I'm in the big leagues. I know there's years I look back on now and I say, man, I wish I would have done this differently, or maybe if I would have, you know, thrown this pitch or worked harder on this, this would have happened. But at the same time, I'm doing my best, and I don't make decisions naturally in baseball based out of fear, but I do that in life sometimes. Sometimes I have fear in life decisions, and it knocks me off my course, and And that's something where I'm a lot stronger in baseball than I am off the field because it's a lot easier, obviously. But, you know, in life it's a difficult thing, and we have to give ourselves credit sometimes, I think, and just be open to you know, accept that, you know, we're going to have some tough times. But as long as you keep continuing, man, at the end of the road, it will all fall into place quickly and randomly someday, whether it be 5 years or 5 days or 15 years, it'll come together if you stay with it.
What is that moment like, if it could be indescribable, I'm not really positive here, where they say, J.P. Howell, you're a professional baseball player. We're signing you. What's that moment like, really? It's just got to be unbelievable.
It is, you know, and the funny thing, you know, on my debut, my first game, you think, you make it, and it's a great thing, but it was kind of, you know, it's kind of sad because then you're kind of like, okay, you know, what's next? You know, now what's next? And you have to continue. Then you have new goals, and then something I learned then, you know, you accomplish one goal, the process continues on to the next goal, and you're allowed to enjoy that moment. And I always cherish those, and that's what I get from those. I get. You know, I trust myself from having those experiences, and like Heather talks about, I trust my intuition, I trust my gut, and it helps me in a lot of other areas in life, you know, just believing and knowing if I do it this way, it works out.
What's it like 7 years later? I mean, what's your perspective? What's your awareness compared to when you started? I mean, is it night and day, or... Is it? Do you feel much more mature, much more seasoned, how you look at things or approach the season?
Not definitely. I always say, I think I said it to you, Gary, I wish I knew then what I know now. You know, I'm a relief pitcher now, but, I mean, at one point I was a starter, and I feel like, you know, I didn't approach being a starting pitcher as well. You know, if we're just going to talk about baseball, I can relate with that. And, you know, when I was a starting pitcher, I didn't work out. It definitely didn't work out as hard as I could have. I didn't take care of myself. I ran with the wrong crowd at the time. And it's something, you know, luckily it didn't cost me a career, but it cost me an opportunity, that's for sure. And, you know, the thing is I didn't know, though, at the time. I was making decisions based on things that, you know, were more in the moment rather than 10 years from now or 5 years or, you know, next month even. I was making, you know, pretty much, you know, child decisions and immature decisions. But it helped me grow, and I understand that now, and I understand a lot more things now. I understand a lot more people now. And I'm not as quick to judge. So, I mean, there's a lot of good that came with a lot of the negatives, like, your other people you had on the show, they said it too. Is in your negatives, if you're just trying your best, those negatives will give you something. You'll be given a gift of a lesson, and you'll always be able to carry it with you, and it's going to help you a lot later on in your life, in your family life, and career.
And I saw what JP and it wasn't necessarily negative, but it feels like a negative at the time. But like when he went through his surgery, you know, he thought his career was over, and it was this whole process and really difficult process. But seeing him come out of it and his career on the, you know, the post side of going through all of that, like, just from my perspective, it was just like night and day, you know, development of a person and a pitcher. And so in that sense, it just shows that something that can appear negative can wind up actually be, you know, could be a blessing if you make it that way. And you do the work to keep going. And when you make the right choices and you go about it as best possible, then it pays off in the end always. So
Heather, tell us, first of all, how deep in his career was that? He hurt his shoulder. And tell us a little bit about that. And tell us about your role. I mean, what happened to your life when that happened? I mean, was it scary? Were you clear? Did you know your role? Did you just assume it intuitively? Give us a little insight.
Yeah, it was a really full circle thing for me because I had, you know, broken my back and gone through a serious injury when I was 18, which really took me out of track, you know, and when I was going through that, it was always a lot of those depressed moments and those moments of why is this happening to me, you know, and took my track career away, and I could have really let it, you know, ruin my life for a long time. And then when when JP and I, we got married, and then he had, we got married, and then pretty much soon after, in 2010 was when he had to have full shoulder surgery, you know, and going to Alabama and hearing the doctor say that his chances of coming back were really, really slim, I was definitely devastating to both of us. But I felt like for me, going through that injury was actually, I think, meant to happen and meant to be in my life and on my path, because had I not gone through that, I would have had a lot less understanding of what JP was going through, you know, from a physical standpoint and from an emotional, you know, mental standpoint, because it's more devastating emotionally than it is physically, for sure, with something like that. So watching him go through that, then it kind of felt like, for me, it created a new purpose with what I had gone through. That was to help him get through this and to, you know, for him, he did so much work going to physical therapy every day. And I think it's just, for me, it was just continually believing and, you know, trying to support him to just keep going and knowing that anything's possible when you really, you work really hard. But just sometimes in those moments, just understanding that there's nothing that you can do but just get through those time periods and do the best you can, because it doesn't happen overnight. And that process of healing and growing was definitely like a 2-year process, and it paid off where we're at now. But, you know, when we're here playing in LA and, you know, everyone sees our life, they don't understand what we went through, you know, moving to Alabama and all the being by ourselves. And it was just JP, myself, and our, you know, puppy Rose, and in a little apartment in Alabama. We had no one else with us, you know, no one else visiting us. And it was amazing to see how people, you know, how things change. All baseball went away, and then we had to depend on each other. And I don't know, I feel like, I don't know about what JP would say, but I know we say sometimes, like, we miss those times, not in the sense as far as the injury goes, but it really brought us close together, and it really made us stronger and know what we're capable of, and to just appreciate where you're at, because you can, just because we're here now doesn't mean, things like, that's just life. So it's appreciating every moment and making the best of it, and I think it just, those situations just really grew us individually and grew us together, and I don't think there was anything better for our marriage than going through that the first year. And it was difficult, but it definitely, it paid off.
And I want to get on with that in just a minute. But just to JP, what was it like for you? I mean, my gosh, this is something you were doing for years and years and years, and then it comes to a halt. I mean, what happened?
Definitely, man. It was definitely tough. I mean, I freaked out for a while, man. I freaked out. I was in denial. I didn't think it was hurt, really. I'm like, you know, I can play through this. I've never been hurt in my life. I think I was like, I don't even know, it was 4 years ago, you know, so I was 26, and I was healthy all those years, and then this happened. But the moment, you know, I got to accepting it, everything got better. I mean, I felt better and better, because it's just one of those things where you have to accept it. You have to accept you're hurt. You're done. This is the new goal, isn't to strike whoever, someone out. You know, that's not your goal anymore. Your goal is to lift a 1-pound weight. And that's the new goal, and you have to accomplish that.
Touché. Oh my God! I just did a flashback when you said that. Oh my God!
Oh yeah, I'm sure you know your surgeries, man. That's like, oh, you went from riding, you know, 100 miles a day, or running 50 miles a day, whatever you crazy workout. I know you do some crazy workouts. To what you had to tab and standing up, you know, your new goal
was
to stand.
Yeah, sitting in a room in India, like. Not knowing anything, or the food, or anything. It's like Alabama, you know? You just got yourself. So what a beautiful way to say it.
Wow.
Another,
Yeah, my husband had both of his hips replaced 4 years ago now. My husband had both of his, he became the 10th person in the state of Maine to have both of his hips replaced at the same time. And he's super athletic. He's a good baseball player, a great golfer. I mean, he's
super, super athletic. And I can completely relate to what you guys are saying, going from this, you know, vibrant baseball player or golfer or whatever to having a goal of walking again properly.
It's unreal.
Just standing up out of bed or walking or,
And when you're used to being so athletic and having that adrenaline rush and getting the workouts and the endorphins, and then I think all of a sudden you're in pain and then you can't do that and that's, you can't have that release, you know, it also makes it forces you to work on other aspects of your being, you know, which is important. And that's one of the things that it pushed me to do, but it's also difficult when you can't use like sports to release all of those emotions and just everything. Sports is so amazing for that.
You know, it was great for him. We have four boys, and they're 12, 14, 16, and 18, so back that up 4 years. And he's always coached them in, you know, Little League or whatever they wanted to do. And he was back on the baseball field within a week, and he wasn't, you know, on the baseball field playing or, you know, doing anything crazy. He was with a walker, but he was there. And being there really motivated him to get better and walk more, and just the kids and everything. It was just that's how he healed himself, was baseball. Really interesting to just sort of take a step back and see him. He loves baseball, and he's listening upstairs, and he's I think so many boys have baseball dreams. They just really do.
That is true.
All ages, it is.
So do you feel it's a miracle where you're at right now?
Who, me?
Yeah, like you've been, it's like maybe some angels have been involved and some, like you said, the pathway, and it's a miracle that you're pitching the way you're pitching right now.
Definitely. I mean, it takes a lot. It takes the miracle factor. It takes the hard work factor, the belief factor. My wife was a support factor. It takes many factors, and as once you know you understand that equation, it'll help you. I mean, it helped me tremendously, and you know, I definitely wouldn't be here if there wasn't some angels floating around guiding me the right way, and my wife being one of them, just really supporting me, because I was crazy for a while. I was devastated, probably for, I mean, a couple months or at least a couple weeks. And, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't, you know, I don't have a college degree. I got drafted as a junior. So, I mean, I had a lot of thoughts that I had to, you know, think about. And, you know, I'm so used to judging myself on my performance that night that I had to judge myself on how I acted. And that wasn't very cool at first, man, because I wasn't acting very good. I was depressed, you know, I was many emotions, but, you know, luckily here we are today, and that's why it's so worth it. It was worth every minute of it, and Heather even said it. You know, I do kind of miss those days in Alabama, even though the injury was terrible and brutal and all those negative things. Man, a lot of good things were happening in our life at that time, and now we're back to work, which is another great thing that we love to do.
Yeah.
Exactly. So everybody's got this opinion. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Well, I would absolutely love to ask you about your injury. We've mentioned it a couple of times, but haven't gone into really any detail about what happened to you. And I'm from Tahoe. I moved here to Maine from Tahoe, so it's resonating with me. I had a couple of kids in Walnut Creek, and I'm wondering if you could tell us what happened to you in a little bit more detail, so people really understand what you've gone through and how you're even alive, walking, thriving, you know, all of those things, because what happened to you, you're quite lucky to be alive, I think.
I am, and actually, the first thing, actually, after I got scanned at the hospital after what had happened, is that's what they said to me, that people had died doing that. And that I was lucky to be alive and really lucky to be walking. We went on a trip my senior year, going into my senior year. And a month prior to that, I had just won nationals and was ranked number one in the country in the 800 meters and, you know, talking to all the coaches and schools and Stanford and USC and having all these offers for full rides. And my whole, you know, life was ahead of me with track and my dreams of running professionally. And then we went to Lake Tahoe to train going into senior year. And we went running about 8 miles up into the hills. And we went after that over to a ledge because it was super hot. And everyone on the team was jumping from like 50 feet into the water. And this is one place where I, you know, like to tell kids that even one single choice can change a person's life forever. And I, you know, I believe for me it was meant to be, but I definitely believe and I remember having that intuition say, no, you know, don't do that. Like, I didn't want to do it. But everyone else was doing it. And one thing I really struggled with when I was younger is I was so disciplined and I gave my everything to sports and I gave up a lot of things for that. I was really dedicated. And I think a lot of kids my age couldn't understand that because I was so focused. So in that moment, I didn't want to do it, and I never put anything at risk. I was never one to, like, party or, you know, do anything in my body that would risk anything for track. But in that moment, I jumped, didn't think that it would really risk anything, even though I had that intuition feeling. And I did it to do it with my other teammates, and I had that thought, like, just, you know, have fun. You deserve it. You know, you're number one in the country right now, you can do it. And, of course, when I jumped, I lost full control. It was so high up. I just remember in that moment just going from totally feeling in control to totally feeling, like, not in control at all. And when I hit the water, I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. Someone had to jump in and get me. And long story short, I was rushed to the hospital and then wound up having, you know, fractures all through my lower spine and breaking my coccyx. And going from all these wonderful opportunities to not being able to move, and from I depended on track for everything in my life, and then all of a sudden I was faced with the reality that I had to be, you know, stuck in bed on a mattress in on my mom's floor because I couldn't even walk upstairs for a long time. So.
What's a long time? What's that recovery like when you you're lucky you're not paralyzed.
Exactly.
Aren't
right.
you? I mean, that's just got to be.
I'm very lucky.
Talk about
I'm extremely
angel.
Lucky. I'm not paralyzed.
Wow.
Yeah. That's why when I get, you know, when I was frustrated by it, I also had to keep in mind that I was really lucky to be able to walk and move and, you know, especially now in my life, I can run, I can be athletic. You know, JP can testify for that, I'm super athletic, and I'm so fortunate to be where I'm at. And I look back on that, and it's just crazy because I really could have been in a position where I wouldn't have been able to walk. I could have died. I see people that are in worse positions than me, so it's hard for me to complain about it so much. I still have things that affect me today from that accident, and it's a constant. Once you have something like that, you have to always dedicate to making sure that's a priority to keep, you know, yourself on track with that. Otherwise, I definitely pay for it in my body. But overall, you know, long story short, it was the best. And it, you know, with talking to JP about this the other day, it was during those moments when I couldn't move, you know, and I couldn't for like a good month, and then it was over a year process. I mean, going to school, I couldn't carry books. I couldn't do anything like that. I went from being this, like, you know, big track star to, like, not even being able to go through the hallways without being worried someone was going to push me or, you know, do anything to hurt me with my back. And yeah, I was an 18-year-old in intense pain. And so it was a lot. And then I had to go into USC in that way too and start over my whole life. But it was in those moments when I couldn't move that's when my mom started handing me books and I'd watch Oprah and things like that. I started to educate myself in a much like broader scale than track ever did for me.
Yeah, I wondered where you got all this from. You both do I know you a little bit more through Twitter. I just started to get you know,
right.
to know you a little bit more. So you have a passion about you that is unmatched. It's I can hear it in your voice. I can hear it the way you talk. There's a passion in you, and I can't quite figure out what it's just.
Two peas in a pod.
You can do anything you want. Yeah, you guys, you can do anything you want to do. The passion. Can you talk about passion and what role passion plays in what you guys both do? It's got to be incredible.
Well, for me, you know, from those life experiences, like, I definitely shifted so much for me, and it was the best thing that happened to me. And I really believe when we're experiencing injury or failure or pain, those are the greatest lessons. That you don't go. You know, people will ask why certain things happen in life, and it really sometimes that stuff's happening in order to grow your soul. And I think it's all, you know, that's what I'm so passionate about, is that I don't think we have our priorities straight, and I see a lot of kids that just have never been taught that. And I think these little things could really help shift their happiness in their whole life. And if you focus on growing your soul, everything else in your life is going to be so much more fulfilling. You know, we focus so much on our outer appearance, so much on these other things, which is fine. If you're focusing, you know, also on growing your soul and your insides, then everything else falls more into place on the outside. So I just have so much passion from that with everything I've gone through. I could keep talking your eyes ear off for hours.
I love hearing you both talk. How much, JP, how important, this is a Gary Kobach question. Gary, you can just cover yours for a minute here. How much do you guys love Gary? Is it even, like, as much as I do? I mean, he is so cool and so important in all of our world. Everybody listening, there's a chat room filled with people who love Gary. Julie Vick is in there. How much of a role does Gary play in your life?
Oh, man, for me, excuse me, you know, Gary's been in our life probably a year, but I mean, I've really gotten to know him this, you know, this is my, in the off-season time, he's taken time to come up and visit me and really just, I had a tough time, you know, hitting the kickstart button this year, and he just pretty much came into our home and gave me, you know, some information of how to, you know, get your mind pointed in the right direction. And I mean, for that, I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's just a free gift from a man who's very wise and who knows many life circumstances and situations. He's lived through a lot of them, so he can relate in a way that, to me, not many people can relate. I just understand what comes out of his mouth, and it just makes too much sense for me not to at least try to do what he's saying, because it's
you and me
it
both.
Can truly, yeah, it's just too much, you know. It just makes too much sense. So it's just one.
We're not
things.
On air, are we? We're not on air. Are we?
We're on air. I'm sorry. Yes,
wait,
I told you.
I haven't
cover your ears for a minute. We're having a gay love fest here.
Yeah. It's my turn.
There you go.
Oh my God.
Well, Gary came into my life a year ago, in which it was just one of those, like, lucky to have someone say, oh, you have to work, you know, with Gary and this and that. And it's like with the intuition thing. You know, when you meet people, and I think it's so important who you surround yourself with, and when people have the, you know, the right intentions, it just energetically to have positive people around you, it actually automatically changes the outcome of your path. And that's another huge thing to say to kids. You know, your friends and the people you're around, it's just so huge for what you want in your life. So you have to be careful who you place around you. And, well, like the intuition, when you're around someone and you just know that, it's a feeling. And so, like with Gary, it's a feeling of just knowing when you're around that person that, one, they're completely positive and have this amazing energy, and that they want nothing but the best for you. And it's rare. It's really, unfortunately, rare to find, and it's important to have in your life. And Gary's, you know, been all of that for us. And to have someone that you can trust in the situation that we're in, too, and want the best for us in our careers and in our marriage and, you know, in our life, like, it's... You can't ask for anything that's a greater gift than that.
Wow, Elizabeth, you should have told me you were doing it.
No. It was for
Thank you, guys.
Anyway,
you're awesome.
Yeah, and I'm completely with you. I heard him utter one sentence 2 years ago, and I'm like, who are you? And we're just meant to be and do cool things together. So, and here we are doing this conference, and Blog Talk Radio is behind us, and you're just cool, Gary. Anyway, we love you.
Thank you, guys. I'm honored. Let me ask a couple questions.
Cover your past, yeah.
And I want to get to that because everybody thinks it's all roses, right? And I know we love Rosie, your dog, but I mean roses as in it's all, you know, it's all pomp and circumstance. You're, you know, ball players, you're married, you're both athletes, you're both driven, you know, you've got a contract or you're with the LA Dodgers and it's all this, like, you know, spotlight stuff. But share with us a little bit. I mean, what is sleep like? You know, what is travel like? What is, like, being apart like? Just give us 1 or 2 minutes, and would you just share with everybody and that they understand it's not all really what it's put up to be?
Oh, man. I mean, I'll tell you this. If it wasn't for the game, I would have quit a long time ago because the lifestyle is something I do not choose. I mean, I'm half depressed because I got to leave my house now. I was just hanging out with my wife and my dog every day for 10 hours straight. And now I got to go back, and I'll probably see him an hour and a half or 2 hours a day at the most. And I'm around a bunch of fellas on the team who I love, too. They're awesome. But, man, for 162 days of, 12-hour days with those guys, you know, I do miss my family, and I got to give that up. And I got to travel, and, they don't always get to go with me. And, I mean, you don't get to eat right. I'm up till 4 a.m. Sometimes if I have a bad game, then it's 5 a.m. or 5:30. And I know Heather can talk about it too because she probably takes the brunt of it because I'm in the tornado and she has to watch and kind of help. So you can go on that, Heather.
Yeah, I can feel that.
It definitely is a turn. when we got married, I was living on my own. I was working, supporting myself, and I thought that was all tough. And this lifestyle, I never, ever had an understanding of how difficult it is. And like JP said, one of the most difficult things is having to be apart, having to travel. It's a sad day in our household when he has to pack up and my dog Rose will even, throw up because she's so sad. And I mean, I like to go with JP as much as I can because we don't like being apart, but sometimes that's not always doable. Sometimes I have to take care of her and, hold down the fort and get everything going here. But every day, it's not like there's much of a day off ever. I mean, there's a baseball game every day, 162 days out of the year. And when you factor that in, JP's going to the field all day. If you go to games in L.A., if I'm going, you're going at 6 and our nights are late. We'll walk in the door at 12, and by the time you come down from that, like, forget about it. Your schedule's so off. So if I have to get up and do stuff, just normal life stuff for Discover Your Past, stuff for my book. It can be exhausting. It's a lot of balance, but at the same time, we're so blessed to have the things that these opportunities, and we're blessed to have each other because I think having each other through it and balancing out a lot of this stuff is really helpful.
And you've got to give yourself some space, right? As JP said a little earlier, to not always know it all, to be able to experience it, and then, like, you wanted to be there all the time, right? And then what did that do to you a year or two ago when you were, juggling all the plates? I mean, it took a toll.
I thought working on my own and, I was doing TV, and I thought that was stressful until travel. I feel for him because when I was traveling all the time, it's exhausting, and I wasn't even playing games. I was just trying to be the one to keep everything going and do the Discover Your Path stuff and the writing, and the travel alone is I think some people think it's glamorous, but we really look forward to the day when we're in one place for the most part, and that routine is just, it's something
to be treasured.
And
learn the importance of balance.
Can we run long a little bit? Gary and JP and
yes,
Heather, can we run long on this call, or do you need to go immediately because can we go a little bit longer, like maybe
five
or
10 minutes?
Yes, 5 or 10
more minutes.
Yeah, I'm good.
I have a question for you both with respect to that, and I totally hear you in the gratitude. I mean, I completely get it. You're very grateful and blessed and all those things, but how do you stay healthy and focused and determined and consistent in all the things you need to do to be a professional athlete while you're training and playing that many games, and maybe your eating might be off because you're in a hotel, or how does that work? Exactly.
To be honest, you got to have guys like Gary and really kind of in your corner. I mean, just kind of edging you and promoting the right things, because you know it's easy to say I don't care I'm doing this tonight, or whatever. I'm gonna have 5 beers, or I'm gonna drink 6 sodas and eat pizza. You know, but you're gonna pay for it for a long time. You're gonna be you're gonna fall into a trap, and that's what everything is. It's pretty much a trap. And Gary says it just feels too good to be on point, you know. And then when you go off the path a little bit, you realize why you hate it and why you don't like doing that. And every now and then that happens too, you know.
Yeah. Can you, Heather or JP, can you guys go through, I know this is rushed and at the end here a little bit, but discoveryourpath.com is something that you have both contributed to, and you can just see the love and passion in this website and message. Can one of you or both of you go through what Discover Your Path is, why you did it, and how, and just talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can start that off.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted, ever since I broke my back or for a long time, to do something for kids. And then when JP and I got married, before we got married, we were both always passionate about helping kids. And I think when we're our happiest is, one, when we're with each other, but in talking about these things too, but also when we're helping, people that are younger than us. And so Discover Your Path, we wanted to create something where it could be open-ended for all ages, and just inspire them in helping this generation, make the right choices that keep them on the right path and find the things that really make them have lasting happiness in life. And we see so many different areas, so many ages areas. I mean, it's really endless, the people that are suffering and going through things, whether it's, bullying or just down on life or, turning to the wrong people or turning to the wrong friends or peer pressure. I mean, it's so prominent in our world today. And so we just wanted to build and create something where we can put out these positive messages that just, simply help kids make the right choices so they can keep in the right direction on their path and be able to live their dreams and also find the things along the way that make you happy, not the things that are going to maybe give you a quick fix, but then, a couple years down the line, you're not wanting to have to look back and regret where you're at. So
I saw a picture of you guys
really
with a book. Was there a book
right,
or something? I saw a few pictures. I think it was on your Instagram. There were a bunch of kids holding up a book.
Yeah, that's
Am
the
I wrong?
Kids book that I did. Yeah, I'm doing a line of kids books that teach these kind of messages through books, and I want to do that
cool.
with the stuffed animals. And I'm also working on a book right now that has a lot to do with our story and our messages and more for like a younger adult, I guess, like 20s, 30s. And that one I'm just finishing right now. So, yeah, those will be coming.
And,
wh-
Tell us, what kind of response are you getting from the kids? I mean, they're eating this up, or they, do you find it's the missing link, or they're like, whoa, like, where was this in my life? This is awesome. What are you finding?
I think, I mean, JP can, I'm pretty sure he'd say the same thing, is that I think so, this is just so necessary. We both know that. I mean, we were lucky to have each other. We were lucky to have people in our corner when we came up, you know, across things. And, you know, like even like when we were in Alabama, we were so fortunate to have each other and grow together with that. And we just want to now be able to take those things we've learned and those messages and the things that we have experienced and be able to give that, you know, to any age really. And I mean, I hear it all the time, even just take women and young girls alone. I have moms all the time telling me, you know, their younger girls are struggling with image issues and, you know, just their worthiness is so low and they think they need to turn to this or at these young ages already thinking these crazy things and not focusing on the things that are really going to make them happy in the long run. That alone to me screams that this is very needed. And
one of my
kids uses
your website. Yeah, my 14-year-old, I have a 14-year-old pitcher kiddo, and he uses your website. And one of the ways he uses your website is to sometimes stay opposite of what the crowd is doing. He uses the steps that you've created to just remind himself that he's a unique person and he doesn't have to make the same choices that everybody else makes because he wants to stay on focus with his baseball. Very interesting.
Wow,
so I pointed him to you guys. Yeah, and your website better than mine. He's not going to listen to his mom, sort of.
Yeah, you know.
So thank you for that. I love it.
Oh,
yeah, and we want to continue to build with that, you know. And that's we'll keep building that this year, and that's what we want to do. And it is, you know, it's good for anyone, whether they don't have parents or the right friends to trust or. Just someone, you know, outside their inner circle to be able to go hear these messages from. I think that's really what we want to be.
Women choose their jewelry for very specific reasons, Heather, I find, and this is going to be a totally random question. I'm on your website, and I see this beautiful picture of you. You have kind of an aqua green shirt on. It's your Heather's Path picture, and you have a cross on, and then you have a long necklace on. Can you tell me, and just what's the significance of the jewelry that you have on there?
Well, I started wearing a cross at a really young age, and that became really important for me, just one as a reminder to what mattered for me. And I think another thing for kids and for teenagers, young adults, or any age really, to have those little reminders, whether it's around your house or whether you're wearing it, just the things that continue during the day to point out the significance of what you want on your path, the overall path. So when you're making, because you're going to have choices you're facing daily. And during those, even the little choices matter. And so wearing a cross, and then the necklace I'm wearing is from Discover Your Path, which eventually I want to be able to get that stuff up on the website for people to, you know, to be able to purchase or donate to kids. And they just have messages on them. That one particularly has Shine Your Light on it. Just to remind me that it's not coming from the outside, and it's about every day just learning to shine my light. And by doing that, I'm going to bring the right things and the right people and, you know, angels and all of the spiritual aspect of our life to my, you know, my surrounding circle and the energy. And that's what really elevates you on your path to success or to just everything that makes you happy. So just reminders, you know, those are another way for me to just have reminders daily of what matters.
I noticed it. I always choose my jewelry for reasons and things like that too, and have amazing hair while doing so. My goodness.
Thank you.
Just had to say that. Anyway.
You're both so eloquent.
Thank you.
And we really appreciate you. And I know, JP, you must be packing bags or something. You've got to be any moment or any day, you probably are heading to spring training, aren't you?
Yeah, we're about to head that way, bro. You know, within the next 24 hours, so the countdown begins.
Wow.
And the new chapter is about to start. So we're looking forward to it, though. It'll be fun. It'll be a good time. New journey.
It is. It is. Awesome. And you've got such a clarity about your role now. How does that feel for you for the upcoming year?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, that's part of it. That's part of it. That's part of the, you know, the unknown. It's glad that some of that can get fulfilled. So it takes a little heat off me, and we can just kind of sit back and go ahead and get that World Series done for L.A. and the Dodgers. That's the next step.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I want to thank you both, Elizabeth and I thank you from the bottom of our heart. And for those that are listening, the replays and the downloads, oh, my gosh, just, you know, stick it in the car while you're driving or take a moment, as Heather said, and create some space and just listen here to the love and the expansion of the soul that they're talking about, and then the challenges that they've gone through and the coming out the other end and just warming up, as I always like to say. We're just warming up. Elizabeth, what would you like to add?
Just thank you. It's really nice to get to know you both. Have a great baseball season. Heather, have so much fun. And you promised we could high-five the dog, too, you know. Rosie, we love you from Tessa. Needed to make the dog.
I'll make sure to send you
our
pictures.
So wait a minute. JP's heading to Arizona, and let's see, you're probably there soon. Heather, where's Rosie? What's going to happen?
Yeah,
what's
the dog?
Oh, this is an interesting question, because we're where's Rosie going to be? And this is another thing back to the whole what baseball life is like, because right now we have our house in San Jose. I'm setting up in L.A., so we go to Australia, so I want everything to be ready to go in L.A. for right when we get back from Australia, and then JP goes to Arizona, I'll meet them there, and then I'll be bouncing around all three for the next month.
Wow.
And, yeah, and then so JP right now is moving out to Arizona with Rosie, and I'll meet them out there, and then we'll be back. Then we'll be to Australia. We're lucky to have my brother who's helping, who will drive, like, Rosie back to L.A., and then we'll meet her back here after. So it's a constant bouncing.
So there's a new blog. There's a new blog for Discover Your Path website. Where's Rosie?
Awesome. Is it really?
Oh, man.
Because Rosie runs the household. I saw that the last time I was there. She's the boss.
Yeah.
I got that now.
She lays down.
She is. She's our child.
So funny.
She's a good. Yeah. The love machine.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, thanks again, guys.
Right, thank
you're
you.
Awesome. Thanks for taking a few
all
extra
right.
minutes, and we know your time is
yeah.
important. So.
Really appreciate
thank
you.
So
you.
All right,
thank
we'll
you.
Connect
right.
in the next
right.
few days, too.
Right, awesome.
Okay, wonderful. And Elizabeth, I'd love to talk to you, so anytime.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Can't wait.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome.
Okay.
Gary, aren't they amazing?
Awesome. Oh. See you guys. Take care. Fly safe.
Yep, fly safe. Drive safe. Rosie safe. Everybody safe.
Yep.
Oh, they're so cool.
It's our couple, right, of this 4-day teleconference. We chose them only because, well, there's no question why we chose them.
Yeah.
They're like two peas in a pod. I mean, they're just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They've like minds, and then they offset
okay.
each other, you know, and they're both
yep.
very driven. And we work on that because they're both very driven. And when they're not
mm-hmm.
very driven, they're both very driven. So,
boy, I don't know who that reminds you of.
exactly,
so
all of us, right?
So
that's very special.
You know what I thought was really neat, too, in talking with them? I really like how, they have kind of a similar interview style and response style as we do. He's very respectful of her talking.
Yeah.
Very respectful, and didn't need to be center stage because he's the baseball player. You know?
No.
Oh, so respectful
no.
of her and worships her. I love that. That was such
yeah.
a cute comment of her being more important to him than anything and than
wow.
even than baseball. I mean, that was
that.
That's pretty That's
the golden
cool.
nugget in the first 2 minutes. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was great.
So anyway,
no, and it was great.
Yeah.
And if you notice, I made a note of something. Last night, you know, Kevin Sorbo had a stroke, right? And then very shortly thereafter, they got married.
Yeah.
And then Heather and JP hurts his shoulder, and right after getting married. So they immediately after getting married, they had these challenges that created a closer bond. And I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Tomorrow.
All right.
We have Katana Abbott right off the bat at 8 a.m. Pacific, right? And 11 a.m. Eastern. So we'll be live with her. She's going to talk to us about prosperity. And I can't wait for that.
And David James Elliott, oh, my gosh. David James Elliott and I go way back. He's just a long-running TV show called JAG. He's awesome and an amazing athlete and very grounded, and I can't wait to chat with him for us. And then the master of masters here is Deb Scott.
Oh, yes. I can't wait for her. She's going to tell us all about the best people she knows. Which, you know, if we can talk about Deb Scott just for a minute before we go. I know it's way past midnight and we're still talking, but she's a connector of people. And you and I would have never met without Deb Scott.
Exactly.
Maybe we would have, but I mean, we've met directly as a result of her and the Motivation Marathon a few years ago, and that's how I met you. And so I always have this little extra special spot in my heart for Deb Scott because there's so many amazing people she's connected us to, including each other. And she never wants anything for us. She's like, I'm so happy for you guys.
And we have a really special moment, too, tomorrow, and that is Dave McGillray from the race director of the Boston Marathon. And I got to tell you something. This is somebody, again, another friend of mine for long, many, many years, and just master at event, the event of all events for an athlete or a runner, and that's the Boston Marathon. But then having to go through what they had to go through last year, and the attack and so forth, and the way they've pulled together and the way they've bonded because of those defining moments and the people they've met and the people they've supported and the people they've reached out to and the people they've raised money for to not have it affect their lives so much. And I can't wait to talk to him about it and talk about, like you said, a connector of people like Deb is Dave. And it's a very special moment interview with him. And then Shay Vaughn.
Yeah, our late night. What do you call it? Our best ever you late night?
Late night. Late night.
Late
yep.
Night.
David Letterman. Move aside.
Move over.
Move over.
We have Vince Vaughn's mom coming on. I love
Vince
it.
Vince Vaughn's mom.
I have raided her shoe closet before in Chicago. I stayed with them for a whole, I don't know how long I stayed with them, but I stayed in their house in Chicago a little while ago, maybe a couple of years ago, and she has the best shoes, and I raided her shoe closet. We have the same size feet, and it was so much fun. She has a shoe closet. I mean, wow. So we joke around that I've walked in her shoes before.
Absolutely.
Really.
I love it. Okay, so until tomorrow, everybody have a beautiful evening. Sleep well, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Another beautiful day.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the What's Percolating teleconference on Blog Talk Radio. Please visit us at besteveryou.com for more ways to percolate and create your best life.